This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios is singer-songwriter Christopher Denny. Christopher, welcome to JPR, man.
Thanks for having me.
It's nice to meet you.
Appreciate it.
The new album is called If the Roses Don't Kill Us. It took an awful long time for this record to kind of be born out into the world. Mm-hmm. 7 years since the previous record, Age Old Hunger. I know there are a lot of stories behind what took so long to get this album out. Inform folks a little bit about what was going on during that interim.
I had a lot of anger, and my father was sick, and I got addicted to, intravenous drugs, and then he passed right after I met my wife, and she just, was like, well, let's, we were getting a check for a song I'd done, and we decided that at that point, we were either going to probably, OD with that much money or get sober. So we made the decision to get clean. And the record deal that had been put on hold because of my addiction and probably a lot of mental illness that has been taken care of too, that was secondary. It was weird. It was never one of those things where I wanted to get sober so I could have it back. It just happens to be that I wanted to get sober, and then I got that back in the midst, So it was done for the right reasons, and my father passing away was a big deal. I noticed a lot of anger passed on with him, and then giving up control, and then you gain so much, you hear about that kind of thing, but until you experience it, you don't realize quite how much it is.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of the songs on this new record, you have talked about being inspired by that period of time in your life where there was alcohol, there were drugs. Do you find more clarity now as you're putting pen to paper, writing these songs, looking back on that time? Or do you think you had a better sense of being able to write about it while you were in the middle of it?
I always will write about things when I'm in the middle of them, but I've realized that that's not what I want to write about forever, but I'm never going to be that kind of person that writes really happy songs, So I have a lot of turmoil inside, and the drugs just made it so much worse, And I cry a lot more now, and I have bouts of the anger's gone, but extreme melancholy, and that's okay. I realize that I'm equipped to deal with it, So it's good.
You've used a term called soft suicide.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, it's long.
Self-destruction,
yeah,
kind of?
Yeah, self-destruction. It's a long suicide, and it's soft. It's for the ones too scared to do it quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about how you got started making music. Before we do that, let's hear you play something. What do you want to start with?
We'll start with Happy and Sad. I got a song that's happy and sad. Part of it's good and part of it's bad. That's okay. That's what I say, 'cause I love it anyway. Writing it down makes me mad. Singing it out makes me glad. It's my song that's happy and sad. Part of it's good and part of it's bad. This part is sad. This part makes you cry and wish that this part was happy and it made you wanna drink all night with your friends. I got a song that's happy and sad. Part of it's good and part of it's bad. I got a song that's happy and sad. Part of it's good and part of it's bad.
That is Christopher Denny live on Jefferson Public Radio, the lead-off track from the new album If the Roses Don't Kill Us. Well, you write partly happy songs.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Funny, we did that one right after that little segment. It's like,
in some of the interviews that you've done over the last couple of years, you have talked about wanting to put your hometown and your home state on the map.
Yeah.
Your home state has a president, so it's not it's not like we're not aware of Arkansas, but you are indeed from Arkansas. How big of a town are you from?
I'm from Little Rock, the biggest town there. So, and by on the map, I only mean that I don't want to forget where I came from. Arkansas is amazing, of course, especially for its music with the Delta Blues and everything. So, but I've been places where people are like, where is that? You know, or, and literally in California, people have asked me where that is.
Where Arkansas is?
Yeah. But maybe those people just need to be educated. Maybe I'm going the wrong route, you know, with trying to put Arkansas on the map. I should educate the Californians.
You mentioned your dad passed a few years ago. You were actually raised from age 12 or so by an aunt and uncle, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My dad's brother and his wife, my aunt Norman and Ann, good people. Still, you know, he's like a father, calls me son and those things. But, you know, there's something about losing your father, you know. It's difficult.
Yeah. Was it the aunt and uncle that encouraged you to start making music, or had you been doing that before?
It was definitely my father.
Really?
Yeah. And my grandmother, his mom. They knew. I loved it. And I just loved it from the time I was young. I would walk around with a guitar, and I didn't play any chords. We've got videos of me singing. I had memorized full songs by the time I was three, like vocally, like knew the words to stuff. First song was Give Me Three Steps, a Lynyrd Skynyrd song. Yeah.
So. That early on, did you have a mind that you wanted to do this in front of people, or were you
it? It was all about that for me even at that age, I was just a big ham.
And is it true that one of your first performances, if not your first performance, was a ninth grade assembly?
Yeah.
But a big one.
Big one.
Right?
Yeah, about 1,500 students, something like that.
That's a huge crowd as a
right
debut.
Out there, yeah.
How did it go?
Killed it. Slayed it. Covered With or Without You, U2 song.
Nice.
Serious as I could be.
I want to hear another tune, but before we get there, you are one of a handful of performers for whom speaking voice doesn't really match singing voice a little bit. We've had a couple of them on live in the studios. You've got a voice that's, you know, as we just heard, high register generally, sort of falls in between a bunch of different people. Was that the voice that came out at the beginning, or one that you have worked on a little bit over the years?
Definitely worked on over the years, but there's nothing unnatural about it, I would say. And I think that shows, you know, it's always important when you hear somebody trying to do something and then when someone's just doing something. And so in many ways, I don't say like I really worked on it, but yes, it's definitely something that I have worked on almost subconsciously, you know, like by mixing all these different things and everyone that I love, you know, it's like paying homage to these people, you know. So,
well, and there's definitely some shades of folks like Roy Orbison in there. I mean, it's been written a lot, but you hear it on the album as well. Mm-hmm. Is that somebody that you have spent time listening to considerably?
Yeah, but never was it a real inspiration, you know, for mine. But then over time, I've realized, you know, I can.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
So who were those people that you grew up listening to?
Well, it was. I tell you who really changed my whole outlook was Jeff Buckley.
Yeah.
And then in getting into like Nina Simone through that, definitely like really love the older crooners, the country, Lefty Frizzell, you know, love June Carter's voice. And I think probably someone that inspires me more than anyone else is her and the way she sings.
Well, it's interesting that you would bring her up because your music has been described, for lack of any other better term, as Arkansas soul. There are shades of soul. There are shades of country. There are shades of folk. It sort of harkens back to that period of time, like June Carter, where was it really country or was it just music back then, before all of the labels started to get associated with it? Do you find yourself describing your own music in one particular style or does just that Arkansas soul, it's just you.
Yeah, that's
it's
something just... that we came, JT Van Zandt, who's the son of Towns Van Zandt, is my manager, and he said that in a phone interview where the three of us, he was just kind of overseeing it. That was a definite crazy start when he started to manage me, because I think at times he had to manage his own father in a way. So he was listening in and said that. And, you know, and someone like that who grew up with, as the son of someone like Towns, it's like, well, if they give you a compliment like that, Arkansas Soul. I mean, I would never call it my own genre, but you know what? That's fine with me. I like that. I'm from Arkansas, and I think the music has soul, you know, so.
So it
there
fits.
You go. Yeah.
Christopher Denny is my guest. His new album out on Partisan Records is called If the Roses Don't Kill Us. Can we hear another one?
We can.
What are you going to do next?
In fact, why don't we just hear that song then, If the Roses Don't Kill Us? My baby said she's got to get off. Said she's got to get off fast. She's got to get on a living. Get on it before time does pass. Them roses don't kill her. Sticking around here will. I'm gonna buy a truck when she leaves. Drive it down to New Orleans. I'm gonna stand on the corner. Right there in my shirt and my jeans. Talk to the people, cause I don't know what the people need. Well, she said she's got to move on now. Feeling like she's losing time. Oh yeah, she's gonna get on that airplane, get on that train and ride. If the roses don't kill her, sticking around here will. Well, ever since my baby left me, ever since she said goodbye, I've been staying home alone, and you know I feel I'm about to die. If them roses don't kill us, sticking around here will. So we got to move on now. Feel like we're losing time. We're going to get on that airplane, get on that train and ride. Cause if the roses don't kill us, sticking around here will. Yeah, if the roses don't kill us, then sticking around here will.
That is the title track from the new album, If the Roses Don't Kill Us. It's Christopher Denny live here in the Jefferson Public Radio studios. We will have audio from our live session up on the web later this afternoon and some photos as well at ijpr.org. Christopher, some of the songs that made this new album were actually many years in coming, right? You recorded this, not the whole album, but many of the songs on the album quite a few years ago and didn't really come out, didn't really go anywhere?
Yeah, man. I was really wasted at the studio, unhealthy, overweight, things like that. And so we just didn't, it didn't work out. It wasn't the right album.
So for you, when you're in that condition, the music suffers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's not always the case with everybody.
No. And someone told me the other day, you know, if you start writing good music on drugs, then you'll do good on drugs. And if you start writing good music sober, luckily I started writing it sober. So... you know, I'm lucky like that. Because my whole life suffers when I'm on that stuff. I'm no good at it.
How long has it been now since you've been clean?
It's been almost 3 years. And I'll tell you, so I was so messed up when I got clean that I can't remember exactly because we went through maintenance drugs for a little while.
And we, as you and your wife.
My wife and I, yeah, we both, yeah. So we went through maintenance drugs, but, you know, with being off the maintenance drugs too, which I don't really consider being, I mean, they didn't do anything to me because they just brought me to feel like a normal person. It's probably been about a year and a half off of those. So, about 3 years now, probably give or take a month, I would say.
And yet you are in the middle of a lifestyle that has you driving from town to town, playing bars. The temptation's probably still got to be there sitting on the table in front of you. What do you replace that with? I mean, you've got an addictive personality, or at least a part of it. There's got to be another avenue. Does music take some of that away?
Music takes all of it away, playing in front of people. And I'm an advocate of marijuana too, so that's my thing. I don't ride around the country with it, but I don't sit around thinking about it either. Yeah. You know, I get up there, I get to go to play, and it's awesome. You know, like, I'll be so depressed, and then we'll get there, and it's time to go. And I'm like, man, this makes me feel better, you know? Not necessarily being in the studio, not necessarily writing, but playing for people. I put on a show, and I can be very funny, too. So a lot of banter, and people just seem to like me, and so it works out. Yeah. And
there's this fascinating story that I have to ask you about. You touched on it just in passing, this check that you got. $20,000 check. Because with everything that you had been going through with addiction, the check that arrived that was your hand up, so to speak, came from Marlboro.
Yeah.
It came from the manufacturer of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Because they licensed a couple of your songs. And
they did. Yeah, they did. We found out we were getting, we couldn't get into the email. And just couldn't remember the password, and in the midst of intravenous drug use, cocaine was thrown into the mix, which sparked a million thoughts, and one of them was the password to my email. And as we got in there, we saw that, and it was like, oh, and immediately laid it down. It was immediately like we had a friend. It was just me, my wife, and a friend. We gave him the bag. It was like, no, because this is very dangerous, you know. But like, it's got to stop right now. If there cannot be a, oh, we'll finish this. And then so immediately that, and then we got a drug called Suboxone, which is a lot like methadone, and moved onto that, and we were done. I mean, that was it. So, yeah.
So cigarette money helped you get off drugs.
Yeah, yeah, thank God. And I love cigarettes, too. So,
you know, before we wrap up today, I want to ask you about the relationship you have with your record company, Partisan Records.
Oh, yeah.
Because you had signed a while back, and they, as I understand it, had kind of shown you some tough love.
They did, yeah. We were heading nowhere fast. Absolutely, I was going to cost them money if we kept going that way. It's a good business decision, but I don't think it was made as a business decision. I really hated Tim, the owner of the label, when I was on drugs and when this happened. But, you know, everyone I thought I hated then, I really love now and loves me. And, you know, the other day, my wheel was about to come off my car, and literally, the mechanic said he could have broke it off with his hand. I mean, we had driven all over the country and just thought we needed an alignment. He couldn't believe we were alive. I called my manager, and he got them on the phone, and they fixed it. So, you know, they're keeping me out here on the road. As long as I'm not killing myself, then they'll support me. I think that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, and what was the deal? The verbal deal was, we'll release the album when you've been...
Yeah, they wanted me to be clean 6 months, but I'd been... a lot longer than that when we even recorded it. Just when we recorded it, it had already been a year and a half, and then now moving into third year, because I believe it was February or something of, so we're getting right there on the third year. So January or February, it was around my birthday, my 27th, yeah. Or 28th, and I'm about to be 31, so.
Well, it turned out to be a great record. All thanks. Of the positive reviews are much deserved.
Thanks, brother.
And thanks for coming in and playing for us.
Of course.
We have time for one more. What do you want to go out with today?
You got any requests?
How about God's Height?
That's
good. We talked about it, right? That was one of the two songs that Marlboro licensed?
Yes.
Well, let's go out with that.
Okay. was sitting here thinking about how I can't reach you at all, how I get to feeling so small when I'm next to you. 'Cause you're God's height, you're God's height. You're tall, mama, baby, and I can't reach you at all. I was sitting here thinking about how you were the queen of my world, my most beautiful girl. When they said I need to get out more, I got to thinking that I do. 'Cause you're God's height, you're God's height. You're mighty tall, mama, baby, I can't reach you at all. I was thinking about marrying, thinking about children too. I can never do that with you. You know you get to feeling inadequate, and it's easy to get feeling so small when you're so tall. Yeah, you're God's height, you're God's height. I'm walking on stilts, mama, I can't reach you at all. You won't be coming to my house anymore, 'cause you barely fit through the door. Your feet hang off on the floor, your head hangs off of the hairboard. You know it's true that you're God's height, you're God's height. I'm even walking on stilts, baby, I can't reach you at all. Yeah, you're God's height, you're God's height. You're mighty tall, mama, baby, I can't reach you at all.
That's from the new album, If the Roses Don't Kill Us. Ironically, the song that caused the check to arrive, that caused you to move forward, clean up, and put out such a great record for all of us.
Yeah.
Worked out okay.
I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm happy with the record and happy with life right now. You know?
Christopher, it's been a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for coming by, man.
Man, my pleasure. Thank you.